Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
And good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive, and we're coming to you live on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. And Brother Ralph, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Great. Hopefully you're not at Brother Leon's anymore, because you had terrible service there.
I know, not there, but it was terrible service.
But you know, we still got through it, so praise the Lord for that. And God provides, and I know it's always a good time to visit with Brother Leon, and we sure miss those guys, but welcome to the program. And Pastor Cox, are you there as well?
I am here, and blessings to you all from Oklahoma.
Yes, and Pastor, I didn't get to ask, but I hope none of those wildfires last weekend were anywhere near you guys.
No, they're all out in the western part of the state. Oklahoma City is kind of in the middle part.
Okay, well, good.
And we've had ferocious winds.
Yes, that I saw that last weekend. We actually had a family on the ministry, the Patkowskis, that lost their ranch home and barn and hay and tractors and all that in as one of those 25 homes destroyed last week. And so we've certainly prayed for them, but they're rejoicing, no loss of life. Their grown boys were spared, but it looks like it's going to be a dry and hot. Pretty bad fire season here.
Yeah, it's, the good news here is the winds are not as strong today. I understand they have done much better with them. The wind has come out of the north, changed direction, and they're more under control. They've had a lot of aircraft dropping that fluid that puts the fires out over the area. And tomorrow the winds will be even lighter, so I'd say finally it's contained.
Well, good. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord. Well, man, I'll be here. If you have a caller, I'll sure let you know when they come on.
Thank you.
Sounds good.
Yes, praise the Lord. The Lord sends the right weather, and it's good season. And, Lord, we do lift up this member of the ministry that he'll take care of them. This is the first I heard of it. Father, I just ask that you just take care of them, provide them, and just as when Job lost, he was given back double. Do the same for this family, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Yes,
good evening, Pastor.
Agree.
Yes,
good evening.
Beautiful, beautiful but windy day where I'm at. We've had a lot of wind just like you have, a little bit further east this time around. I'm in northeastern Arkansas, almost in the Mississippi River, about the farthest east I go when I work. But it has been a beautiful day, but it was windy. And but that's just this time of the year in this part of the country. So, Lord, we just give thanks to you because this is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice in it.
Amen. Amen.
Well, Pastor, how did this Monday go?
Well, we had, I believe it was 14 cases, and a very good evening. The anointing was really high, and just some wonderful ministry took place. I visited as much as I can with the teams at the end of the evening, and everybody was pumped, and it all went extremely well. So I'm still on a high from that one myself. And, you know, we'll be lining up for next Monday. We've been doing these 34 years on Mondays now. It's become fairly routine.
It is fairly routine. And it's something that you look forward to. It seems like it comes pretty quick. It's just like this radio program. Before I know it, I start thinking, wow, it's Wednesday again. And, I do look forward to it. I know that the Times and Oklahoma said you look forward to it, and I'm sure the same is for you and all your team members out there, because it is a great thing to help others. Brother Richard talked about that a little bit in the prayer meeting. And if you need some information or want to know how you can help others, you can go to deliveranceusa.com. That is the website that's put up, and it has a wealth of information. Just about everything that we talk about here on the show is that available just at the click of a mouse and off the World Wide Web, which is just an awesome thing. Or you can get the book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, by Pastor Cox. You can get that by calling the office, and Richard gets sent out to you. I believe we ask a $20 offering, and that number for the office is 307-742-7582. And all these are is just experience laid out in a book where people have taken what's right out of the Scriptures, kind of put the cliff notes of the Scriptures, put these down in here, put them into prayers, put them into a format, put them into a system that helps you so you can help cast out spirits, demons, and overcome. Even prayers of healing are there. So if you're just not sure how to go, you can just ask the Holy Spirit to guide you and just read them off, because most of them are just speaking. A lot of those prayers have right out of what's out of the Bible, and the Bible does perform. As you speak the Word, it does perform itself.
Well, I had an interesting case Monday night. A 15-year-old boy I wound up ministering to. He'd come with his family, and it turned out to be really an interesting case. You know, we have this interview we go through initially to kind of get acquainted with the person and find out what they want to achieve, but one of the questions is, when were you born again? And he said, tonight. He'd never made Jesus the Lord of his life before. So, of course, I recommended he get a water baptism. He goes to a church that does full water baptism. He just, you know, had never come to Jesus. Amazing how that is. Well, then he had very good inner healing, and then he was feeling the spirits come out. We got into the ministry part. I did basic deliverance. He yawned. He coughed. And he just kept feeling better and better. And then finally, when I did the limb check, he had a short arm grow out. That really surprised him. And then he got the baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues. He had a good prayer language as well. So, you know, I guess it could be said he did get the Jesus overhaul.
Yes, he did. It sounds like this is a night that young man will never forget.
Yes. Yes, it was awesome. Exciting. I even gave him one of the books. And he didn't have a Bible either, and we gave him a Bible. We always keep a few on hand. And I wrote in it, and it was... I'm still on a high just from that. But on top of that, I had a four-hour one today, and that went really well. I got the head demon up in that case. A lot of inner healing beforehand and soul ties, but got the head demon up, and that went by the book. Just she got a wonderful overhaul as well. So, yeah, I'm pumped.
It sounds like it. And that inner healing is so important. If anybody out there doesn't know what we're talking about, it's just taking, just basically have the person close their eyes and you ask Jesus to start taking them through the days of their lives, you know, to bring into remembrance there and try to get on a certain time, try to find the earliest memory of whatever trauma it is, whether it's whether it was sexual abuse, whether it was physical abuse, whether it was just something as simple as fear had come in for some sort of a thing in a child's life. You know, we might sometimes look at it and kind of laugh, but we would remember that children get scared a little bit easier than us, and a demonic spirit can come in and zap in right on that. So what that does, that inner healing, allows you to talk to the person, let them call upon Jesus to come, and at that point, take that feeling and hold their hand or whatever it is, and then to get rid of it. And that really, really closes the door and helps it helps get these spirits out, because the legal right is gone at that point.
She had entry, Ralph, this lady today. The Holy Spirit took her back to age 2, and she reported a memory she had and the bad feelings that went with it. At age 2, if you can believe. So, you know, it's a lot of this stuff comes in as a child, and it's with them. This lady was maybe, I don't know, 55, 60 years old, and she had this stuff all her life. And so it was so wonderful to see now the real her sitting there without all these spirits covering her over and manifesting in her life.
That's awesome. That's absolutely awesome, because you know, there's probably a lot of that she's been binding up and just not let people know, and has been tormenting her all these years, and just never knew that that could just be so easily released in the name of Jesus. And it is unfortunate that most of the Christian does not understand that. They don't understand don't understand our authority, don't understand the things that could affect them, and they just didn't hear about it. So thank God that someone shared it with me. Thank God someone shared it with you, because if they didn't share it with you, that you never got shared with that person wouldn't share it with me. So that is it is a great thing, the word of mouth, to get out there and help somebody, because not only could we miss out helping others, that we could still be in our own torment.
Amen. Amen. It's word of mouth. It's the greatest way to spread it around. Hallelujah.
Is and I do have a little bit of testimony. I was talking with a relative of mine the other day, and she's gone through deliverance, and she was talking about some stuff about how it seems like a spirit, she could feel a spirit when she gets with somebody, and she said she could feel it, and she was thinking that but maybe it's this or maybe it's that. And all I did is I talked to her about commanding, if it's of the enemy, commanding to stop, cancel all satanic assignments between her and that person, and then just flat out forbid the enemy to operate against anyone that's within you today, and to speak out loud Luke 10:19, gave her the scripture again, and then I reminded her again today, as a few years ago, I reminded her today, and I said, you know, I told her, I said, anytime you go to work, you got to forbid the enemy to operate against the people you're working with, and this and that. And she sent me a text. Let me read that text real quick, because it's kind of neat. It says, it does work. It does
praise
work.
God.
I did all that this morning and got a deal. It works quick. She involved with failed, so she got a deal. And so praise the Lord on that.
Power in that scripture.
There is power.
I quoted it a number of times today in that ministry session, and mm-hmm. and you know, we've seen very clearly the spirits do not want to hear a Christian say it.
No.
Just to keep them at bay, even.
It does.
By the way,
that's our battlefield commission. They know it. They know it.
Yeah.
They hear it. They speak it. They know that they're done for.
Ralph, the husband of this woman that I ministered to today, he was sitting there, a few years ago, they had gone through some of the training, and but he was telling me how one time, you know, when over there with the teams, we all take communion. He was over there and took communion, and he was physically healed in his knees, to where he couldn't even hardly get out of a chair before. And just the communion itself healed him. Isn't that neat? And that's really the way it should work, as I understand it. Once you understand the blood and the body, and, you know, take it with that understanding that Jesus took all this at the cross for us, including infirmities, and praise God, he was healed. He was telling that. I'll probably have to have him on the show one of these days.
Well, it'll be awesome to hear. And that's not the first testimony I've heard of that. I know that when, as we, the Ministry of Scriptures for America, was really starting to learn the benefits of the cross when it comes to healing. And I remember Pastor Peters talking about a man who had, I don't know if he called him or wrote in, but when he was talking about it, and Pastor says, as you're eating that loaf, and that is the body, that is the, Jesus was our Passover lamb, and we were to eat it whole during the Passover, it's supposed to be completely roasted, the whole body. Pastor would say, visualize that you're eating that part for your healing. And there was a man who did it that had some serious back issues, and as he was eating it, he said that it was like he had a chiropractic adjustment right there on the couch, and he was instantly healed back issues. So, Pastor, we have our first caller on the line. Thank you for joining us.
Hello.
Yeah, Rex, are you there? Yeah, hi.
Yes, this is Rex.
All right, Rex is out in Kentucky. I'm so glad you called in, Rex. Excited. Ralph is on here with me in Missouri, and we're excited to hear your testimony. And so you might, give some history on yourself and when you were born again, and then how you learned about deliverance, and then any experience you'd like to share on it.
Oh, okay. My dad was kind of verbally abusive and to my mom and me, and he also was, he would make it up, and he would take me hunting and show me the beauty of God's nature. And my mom was an artist and a second grade teacher, and I got a lot of that from her. But sometimes she would, as I got older, she would put me in between the two. And I was praying for my dad one night, when it was the Sunday night, and he caught me crying and wanted to know what was my problem. And I couldn't tell him. And he called the preacher over, and he asked me a bunch of questions. And I honestly said yes to everything, but I really didn't feel like I was being convicted or saved. I had, been distracted by a different prayer, and I asked God to give me a sign so I would know when my salvation really happened, and He gave me a sign that my friends would lead me to him. And that summer at Camp Schaefer, my friends practically picked me up and took me to the altar. And it was, I wasn't expecting it, and it really caught me by surprise. And I felt really confirmed by God, and later on, I got rebaptized and rededicated in honor of that. Just kind of felt like I had it straight, and my dad was getting sick with cancer, and he passed when I was a junior in high school. But before he did, he would get me out of school and we'd go fishing, and I felt like we had reconciled our problems, and later I felt a conviction to be a full-time visual artist. And I wasn't really sure how to do that, so I got training as a teacher. And I did a lot of 15 years of programs for the Kentucky Arts Council as an artist in residence, and always kept trying to have shows and do things. And every once in a while I'd get inspired by the true living Word of God, and I would do something. Either, you know, I've had some visions and some dreams and just things that I was inspired about, different things about the Bible. And I did a series called Biblical Truths, and I still work in that, but kind of dedicated myself to painting God's beauty and American history and things that inspired me. So I started looking for unique places in every state, and traveled through the South, and now I'm trying to go out west and continue that and paint America first. But had a kind of a rough marriage for 36 years, and got divorced 3 years ago, and kind of have a great amount of work that I've built up through the years. And as typical of Kentucky towns, and a lot of people buy their art out of town. And you know, I'm lived up in Louisville for 3 years, and they did that too. But I felt like the market was maybe getting better, and I opened an art center, a visual art center, here in Owensboro, downtown, and I was so excited and enthused. But I really I didn't get a very good response, and I just thought this year I was gonna really do well. I just felt that God was gonna just pour out blessings on me. I've been in deep study for years, and praying extra strong, and I met a wonderful spiritual lady 10 months ago. She has really inspired me to have a deep relationship with the Father, and to, you know, to receive joy from Christ, and to be guided by the Holy Spirit. And she, a friend of hers, had been delivered by the ministry, had actually gone out to Oklahoma City. And Sandy and I were thinking about going, and it was she found out that she could do her deliverance by FaceTime, and I was with her that night, and it was just one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. It just touched my heart so much. How Everett had a series of questions that would just keep going deeper into her, and he brought out a series of demons that had been lying to her and keeping her down. And it was, and since, she's been just so sweet and full of life, and just I see a clear difference as far as how, you know, truly sincere she is, and how dedicated she is, and to, you know, dedicating the rest of her life for the Lord. And my deliverance was a little after I'd been studying, and she wanted me to go through it because she felt like, you know, I was having a lot of problems in a lot of ways, physically and emotionally, and somewhat especially with my business. So I'm trying to sell art. I just had so many people promise so much, and nothing ever really came through. And it was on April 6, 2018. I'll never forget it, because 4 is the number of man and 6 is incomplete. And 3 sixes is 18, and the Holy Trinity really gave me a presence that I will never be the same. And Everett just really commanded the demons to come out. He commanded me to break all my soul ties, lift them up to the Lord, and he took them. And he asked the head demon, which was stress, that what has he been telling me? And he told all kinds of lies that I was really buying into, and it was holding me back. Lies like I was worthless and I never meant anything, and I was weak and shallow and stupid and careless and confused. And he just went on and on, and I was just amazed. And then he had him look into my spirit and look at the treasures God had for me, ones that he created me with, and a purpose. And the list was almost opposite. And he even said a lot of things that I had no idea. He said I was multi-talented and an artist and things, and a powerful warrior, and that I was royalty. And that really struck my heart, because my name in Latin is King. I always enjoyed the fact that my name was written on the plaque above Christ as King of Nazareth in Latin, and King of the Jews. And I just really appreciate the reality of it all. I really, before Sandy, I kind of felt like Christians wouldn't have that kind of problem, but in the handout, see, I understood that when you open doors to perversion and different things, that that those demons can come in and stay. And Everett told me I should take an oil and in the name of the Trinity go around and rebuke Satan and his demons out of my house, which is mostly a studio, and also my art center, which is next door. And I did, and I just almost immediately good Christian friends just started reaching out to me. And it was just amazing. And I'm still, one gave me a commission, and another gave me a massage that helped my leg. It had all so much stress and like a sciatic nerve pain. And he had ever asked the demon if he'd done permanent damage. He told him he did, and he went in there and made him fix it. And I've just had a load off, and this has been an amazing week, because every day there's been a Christian that has reached out to me and supported me. And I had a kind of a complex against Christians and against Baptists in a way, because you know, they just don't buy art. And they a lot of times have just cheap decoration on their walls, and it's so shallow, and it just aggravates me so much. But things are turning around, and you know, I just want to be diligent, and I want to dedicate the rest of my life to the Lord, and it just keeps us going. It's so wonderful.
Praise God. That's what a testimony, Rex. Hallelujah.
It is. Yes, it is.
It just shows, you know, so few Christians ever get the kind of ministry you receive there, sadly.
Yes.
But that's the reality of it. And it's such a blessing when we do get delivered, because the majority of people are walking around with that stuff that's come in through the generational door and doors that we've opened and the unforgiveness door. And so we find, of course, most people would have about at least 36. How many demons did we figure out we got out of you there, Rex?
Oh, you know, I don't remember. I was, you know, kind of listening, but I didn't get it all. And there was several, and on the three papers you had me circle things that I had been involved with and had a problem with at some time, and I had a lot of things circled, and I would say that the worst was heaviness and stress, and I've been fighting depression and sadness and hopelessness for a while. I just got a new lease on life. I so appreciate it.
And think what you're going to be doing in your life from here. Yeah. It's when those things are gone, your God-given gifts start really surfacing, and just like that spirit disclosed, you had a gift of being an artist, and you know, while the enemy tries to block all that, we knock them out, so hold on to your hat. You can expect all kinds of supernatural things in your life.
Yes, you know, and there's like been some things, like I've wanted to do a painting on stage at a big bluegrass festival. I do a lot of bluegrass subjects. And I got asked to do that.
Hallelujah.
June, and yes, things are just starting to unfold. It's just wonderful.
That's so exciting. Jesus came that we'd have life and life abundant, but we have this adversary that's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. But praise God, with the blood of Jesus that we've been given from the cross, we can deal with those things and get them out of Christians.
Yes.
Well, that's
you know,
so awesome. Well, go ahead.
Yes, God's always, He's always supplied me, but it's never been enough that I could be progressive. And, you know, I want to travel around, see the rest of the country. And there's a lot of things I want to do. Sandy is a writer, and we've talked about doing retreats together where we could go to national parks and I could paint you know, be her partner in this ministry.
Yeah, yeah, praise God. When both of you delivered, who knows what will happen here in the future.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me, Rex, if the Lord wouldn't even send you some people, you and Sandy, to minister to.
Yes, you know, it's I've gotten a lot of mixed
responses. Did you hear that okay?
Yes, I said,
hello?
You know, I've talked to some
hello?
People.
Hello? Ralph, are you there?
Me? I'm still here. I think maybe yes. Something's happening on Everett's connection there.
You don't
hello?
Hear me?
Hello?
Hello?
Richard, is there a way we can...
He's on the same line you are. Maybe let me. Yeah. I'll send him a text.
Okay. All right. Well, Rex, it does sound like that you had a major change in your life. I mean, it was very touching.
Yes.
Yes. Praise the Lord that someone shared that with. I'm sorry. What was her name again?
Sandy.
Someone shared it with Sandy.
Yes.
And then with you. So, and that's what, you know, Pastor Cox and I were talking about that before you came on about. That's how Christianity works. You share it. You know, you're not supposed to take your light and put it up on, put it underneath the bed. You put it up so people can see and let your light shine. So
yes.
But is there anything else that you want to talk about before we still got a few more minutes for our next caller comes on? Is there anything else that you'd like to give as far as testimony?
Well, you know, a lot of my Christian friends, I tell them about the ministry and they just kind of look at me like, you know, I'm talking about something that they had no clue about or that they don't know about, they're very suspicious of. And I guess I felt that way. But, you know, it was revealed directly to me. I'm certainly a believer in the effectiveness of it. And not shy about. In fact, that's one of my gifts is that I can be a bold and effective communicator, and I'm so happy about that.
Praise the Lord. Well, as your friends, as you're talking with them, you can remind them that all the scriptures that are written about having spirits and casting them out and helping others. Especially when you start getting into the epistles, those were all written to Christians. Those books were not written to the unbeliever. They were written to the believer. So
right.
when we're told those things in the Bible, that's being told to other Christians. So demons can they don't possess a Christian, but they certainly can torment them. So
yes,
but that's just a fantastic testimony, and that's just awesome. Pastor Cox, are you back with us?
Yeah, I'm back. I don't know what happened.
I guess it's your week for the problems. So, I had phone problems last week, Rex. But that's just a great testimony, and he was just finishing up the last bit. Do you have anything else you want to say to him, Pastor, before he hangs up?
Oh, well, thanks, Rex, for calling in. You're a blessing, and I look forward to talking to you later. God bless you.
Well, thank you. And you know, when it was getting close to my test to my deliverance, I just kept having a lot of extra problems, and I just know the enemy was trying to keep me from being delivered and also from a stronger ministry. So I do I do appreciate the work you're doing. Yes. God bless y'all.
Well, God bless you, Rex. Thank you so
much.
Thank
you, Rex.
Thank you.
As I was getting closer to my deliverance, I had more pressures and attacks. Does that not sound familiar?
Yeah. We just declared the blood of Jesus over these phone connections.
Yes.
Cell phones,
yes,
and so on.
We do.
The protective blood. Angels.
Amen.
Protect us. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Well, I'm sorry I missed the last part. I just suddenly, I wasn't there.
Well, you know, you were there. You just couldn't hear us. We could hear you. But
oh, you could?
yes, we could. But, but that is a common testimony that as people approach their deliverance, that they have more attacks because the enemy knows what's getting ready to happen. I know it certainly happened with me, and we've heard it over and over. So just don't be surprised if you're thinking about it, that it comes. Just remember that you have just the same amount of authority that we have as we're sitting here talking about it. The only difference is that we just had a little bit more experience. So, but you have the same power and authority that all Christians have. And we have Chris on the line. Chris, thank you for calling.
Oh, thank
all
you.
Right.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, Chris, thank you so much for calling in. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Chris, yeah, if you could share, Chris is he's getting pretty educated in all this, and been coming to the teaching and sitting in on ministry. How long now, Chris?
I was delivered in early February, and I saw immediately started taking the war room classes just following that the next week. So I've got just about 2 months of education, and it's already being very, very productive. I went to church tonight, and just Holy Spirit led me to two men that needed healing, and I delivered two men at church tonight, and he just keeps bringing people into my path.
That's the way it works. Praise God. So you got enough ground school and dual ministry that you soloed here recently. So praise
yes.
God.
Yes, I have. And have you? I'd like to talk about a deliverance that occurred just this last Monday night. Have you already talked about that ever?
No, I haven't. Go ahead.
Okay, so I'd like to share with the listeners that every Monday night we meet at Deliverance, and we pray and we worship and we take communion, and Everett prays for protection for all the ministers, and I'm so glad he did that. I just had a great epiphany that day and special healing for me from the Holy Spirit. Three or four people came to me while we were in praise and worship and prophesied over me, giving me confirmation of something that I was just made aware of not 3 hours prior to that, and only the Holy Spirit would know exactly to say what I was needing to hear. And the word that they said was, "I am good enough." You know, I have struggled.
Hallelujah.
Yes, I have struggled. You know, I've been through deliverance, and I have zero unforgiveness. But you know, with my past psychology experience and research and education, I've learned that sometimes people with their human brains, which are pale in comparison to our Heavenly Father, that sometimes we just don't get it. And I was suffering from that, and you know, I was still allowing myself to think of the wounds I received as a child through traumas, and it disrupted my thinking. And so I talked with a Christian woman, and she revealed that to me. She's like, "Well, I know for a fact you don't have any unforgiveness. You love your father. You say it all the time." So, she said that you are good enough, and that you've just got to start claiming that. And I was like, "Okay, well, I'm going to do that." And then I, you know, it wasn't an hour and a half later that I was driving to Deliverance, and we go through this praise ministry, and I'm going through my prayer, and then right then, like three in a row came, and I was praying, and they just laid a hand on my shoulder. And first woman said, "Holy Spirit has given a word for me to tell you," and she says, "You are good enough." And I just, like, tears started streaming down my face because it was such a deliverance. And then
another man
came up behind me, and he was rubbing my back while I was praying, and he came around and patted my shoulder, and I looked up to him. He's like, "Hey, the Holy Spirit led me to tell you something. He said, you are good enough, and the Lord is pleased with you." And that wasn't it. Woo. Yeah, that wasn't it. And then one of the teachers there, she came up, and she says, "I've been given a vision, Chris, and I see an ancient weapon." She goes, "I've never seen it before, but it's several sticks tied around, iron in the center, and it's either got a hammerhead or an axe head on top. And she goes, and it's lodged in your back, and we're going to remove it right now. And so several of them started praying over me, and I physically felt something being pulled out of my back. And I was just like, praise God, hallelujah, glory to God. And
praise God.
And then, like, it just gave me so much boldness and encouragement, and I just wanted to seek him more than I ever have. So I rolled right into the where the ministry part of the session of the evening comes about, and Everett placed me and another minister with a man who was acting very strange. So he had came in for deliverance, and then he left abruptly through our door closing prayer. The door closing prayer just shuts down all doors for evil spirits to operate. So he left during that. So he came back in without saying that prayer, but he still said he wanted ministry. Now, this man was, his emotions were erratic. He was cussing like a sailor, worse than that. And you could, he was very fidgety, and he was looking all around. And so we just started our ministry, and I had already been told that he left the prayer, so we made him say the prayer, and he could barely get through it. We had to keep encouraging. He had so much anger and hate coming up, and he was, you know, and he changed his voice changed, and he's like, guys, you're really making me angry. Don't make me hurt you. You know, and he had already revealed on a sheet that he loved to fight, and he always had anger and bitterness. And we'll come to find out that this man was so far into sin and so far into, this man had actually drawn a pentagram on the floor and actually prayed to make a deal with the devil. And he had so much evil in him. Now, I've only been doing this for almost 3 months now, and I've seen a lot of deliverance, but I've never, ever seen something like this. And we are just going through the process. This process, Everett has, through the Holy Spirit's direction, I'm assured, he has developed this process that if you just go by the numbers, you will get deliverance if the people want it, and they mean it, and they repent, and they ask for forgiveness, that they will be delivered that night. So we just keep working, and it was so painful because it was like working with a hostile witness, because he would get agitated and jump up and say, I need to run out and smoke. And, you know, we'd have to still be loving and have to say, did you want deliverance or not? You know, he's cussing at us. He's wanting to fight us. And we just keep coming back with love, with the love of Jesus Christ. And so we get him through the prayer. We start delivering him from many, many, many items that he has done in the past. And we get him to put those in his hands and to actually say the words, lift them up to Jesus and say, Jesus, take these from me. I don't want them. You know, and sometimes he would drop his hands and just start cussing again and say, Jesus will never forgive me because I've done the ultimate and the unforgivable sin. And I said, no, you haven't. I said, Jesus will take you back. You just got to get through this. You got to get through this process. And so it was a rough evening, and me and this, my ministry partner, Anthony, he's really awesome. And the two of us were just working like a tag team. As soon as he'd stop saying, I'd start saying something, because we had to be on our toes. And, you know, we've already prayed where warring angels would come in, and we start doing one of the techniques of deliverance where you call the evil spirit up and you have to find out in this particular technique if you're trying to do it a little more quickly. Well, we've been struggling with this guy. It was getting very late at night, so you know, I choose to do this this technique where we call up the head evil spirit, and so one shows up and appears, and this his eyes literally changed. And from my perspective, they physically changed. This guy just was such a mess. You know, he's about 280 pounds. He was a big, thick guy with huge hands, and he you know, one minute he was just crying and just saying he wanted to be delivered because he said he was being tortured every single night. He said that he was being raped by evil spirits because he had actually asked for it. He wasn't pleased with his wife, so he actually prayed for evil sexual encounters. And he said he didn't get what he thought he would get, and that it was torturing him every single night. And he said it was ruining him. And so, of course, with someone that is so deep-rooted into evil, we were struggling, but we were making slow headway. And it got to the point where we were doing everything, and we had this head demon pulled up, which we found out later was not the actual head demon. And it's, we said, hey, we've got our warring angels here. We have all power and authority over you, by Luke 10:19. And so at this point, we had tried a lot of things and we made a lot of progress, but just nothing. We had such difficulty. And so I saw Everett walk by because it was getting late and I think people were already going home, and I asked Everett to come in. And Everett, when he stepped in the door, this man jumped back about 5 feet. And he said, I'm afraid of that man. And he said he's very powerful and he is a killer. And I knew what he meant. He's a killer of demons. And Everett came in and he sat down in a chair, very calm. Now this guy was hyper agitated. He was beating himself with his big large hands, like punching his knees, and Everett just immediately said, I bind you, you're a prisoner of war, stop hurting now. And it instantly stopped. And at that point, Everett very calmly took control, I believe because of his 40 years of deliverance and the anointing, and that's what we needed in this case. So Everett was able to finally get to the head demon, and the head demon confessed that he was in charge of 9,700 demons. And, you know, Everett, not even without a blink of an eye, said, what gives you the authority to still be here? What gives you the legal right to be here? And in a real evil voice, this man's body responded, because he asked us to be here. And Everett said, he asked us, guys, did he say the door closing prayer? And we both affirmed, yes. And he said, well, it's a fact that he has confessed that his Savior is Lord Jesus Christ, and he has said he didn't want demons anymore, and that he was given all power and authority, and he's already said the words, so you have to leave. And these spirits were so evil, and we reminded them that we had warring angels in the room. And he looked around the ceiling and he says, oh, I see them. They're six. And that's not enough to do anything. They can't harm us. And so we call in more warring angels. And he kind of quiets down. but then he becomes very belligerent again, and Everett just binds him, and he's refusing to leave. So Everett calls in the Archangel Michael, and instantly the guy sits down, and he's quiet, and he looks right behind Everett up around the ceiling area, and Everett asks him, like, what's going on? What do you see? Do you see Michael? And he pointed with such a glare in his eye, and he said, he's right there. And Everett's like, well, what do you think about that? And he didn't say a word in response. So just to tie up here, it took just a little more effort, and there was a lot more to the story. I'm just trying to hit the wave top. We did have to use the help of Michael the Archangel and all the warring angels, but Everett was able to deliver every single demon out of this man and send him to the feet of Jesus, never to return again. And this man, when we noticed that the room was quiet and Everett attempted again to talk, if the evil spirit was still there, and it was quiet, so we called the man by his real name, and instantly he woke up, and he was embarrassed. He goes, I feel like I've been doing something embarrassing. And Everett was like, well, how do you feel, though? And he's like, I feel so much lighter. Now, in this man's language, he was saying, yes, sir, no, sir, answering every question with impeccable politeness and courtesy. He looked 10 years younger, and his eyes literally looked brand new. This man had no idea what had happened that evening, but he said he was very tired. And he did, and we asked him, like, have you tried to come to deliverance? And he says, I've been trying to get here for over a year, and every time I would be pulled off into one of his vices, whether it was the sexual stuff, or if it was stopping through a liquor store to, I mean, this man was an alcoholic. I mean, this guy was really evil when he came in, and he walked out white as snow when he left. And
praise God.
Praise God. Hallelujah. And now
it
has given me such the spirit of boldness, and I just want to jump in this and do this full time, because this is truly doing the Lord's work.
Praise God. That's what a report. Hallelujah.
Yes, it is. Thank you for coming on, Chris, and telling us that. Maybe we can get that gentleman to come on sometime and give his testimony.
Yes.
Yes. It would be incredible. I told this man, he was leaving, I said, you have a very, very powerful testimony.
Yeah.
And I said, you can do great work with your testimony. You can save a lot of souls. And, you know, we gave him some handouts, some stuff to say over his home as soon as he got home that would bless his house, that would rebuke all enemy and all spirits and all curses, so this man could have peaceful sleep for the first time in years. And I'm so encouraged, and I'm so empowered by the movement of the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ. When you dig into the Word and you believe and you're obedient, it's amazing what happens in your life. Like I said, I came to church tonight, and I delivered two men. And he actually, on the drive home from work tonight, he gave me a vision of the first man that I would meet. And I walked in through the church doors, and this man was a greeter. And I was like, hi, I'm Chris, and I'm supposed to talk to you tonight. And this guy gave
that's
incredible
awesome, Chris.
Testimony.
Chris, I'm going to have to cut you loose. I'm going to cut you off. We're out of time, Chris. We really are. I'm really enjoying it, and thank you for coming on. And thank you, everybody, for joining us this evening. We will see you next week.
Blessings to you, Chris.